Okay, praise the Lord. That was great worship, wasn't it? Sarah's violin was amazing, wasn't it? Yes. And Marge's bass, yes. Yes. And Mandy's voice, yes. My keyboard. Okay. Thanks, Carol. Okay, hallelujah, praise the Lord. I remember being in a church in Inverness and there was a guy there, and whenever you said, praise the Lord, he'd say, for he is good and his mercy endures forever. So, praise the Lord. Amen, hallelujah. Okay, I'm teaching on healing at the moment, and if you haven't had any of the teachings so far, please listen to those. It's really foundational stuff, real foundational information that every Christian should hear right from day one, and yet somehow it's missed. What I've done really is just is show you that God has provided healing. Healing is here. It's been poured out. We sang that. You've poured out your healing upon us. A healing is here. God has provided healing through the atonement. I've proved that to you through Scripture. There's nothing wrong with God. There's nothing wrong with God. And you know what? There's nothing wrong with you either. God has equipped us to receive. So whatever problems might have been suggested to you that why healing is not happening, sin in your life is the main one. This unconfessed sin in your life, that's why you're not being healed. That is incorrect. You don't have any sin in your life that is coming between you and God. Sin is not hindering the flow of God in your life. Sin has been dealt with. And that is the big thing. Because for so many people, receiving healing, if it doesn't happen immediately, condemnation can come in and you think, what's wrong with me? There is nothing wrong with you. There's nothing stopping you receiving except how you think. That is all that is hindering healing from flowing, is how we think. It says in 2 Peter that all things that pertain unto life and godliness come through knowledge. All things that pertain unto life and godliness come through knowledge, the knowledge of him who's called us to glory and virtue. It's all about what we think, what we know, our thought processes, our philosophies. And that's what I've spent the last 4 weeks, I think, talking about, is your philosophy, which is just a way of thinking, a system of thought. Your philosophy is absolutely crucial. If you think God's withholding, or if you think there's something wrong with you, that is all going to hinder you receiving. So if we can just get those out of the way right from the start, that God is not the issue. And you are not the issue in the sense that there's nothing stopping healing flowing to you. So then the thing is, right, what is going on in my head? What can I change in my head? Because God has made it easy. I know this might sound hard and, but please don't be condemned. God has made it easy. We just need to find out. We just need the information that is going to be the thing that will help us to receive the healing that is already there. What I want to share with you today is not anything that you haven't already heard, I'm sure. But you know, faith comes by hearing and hearing and hearing and hearing and hearing. We have to keep hearing the same thing. Faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. So when we think about biblical principles, we do need to keep hearing them over and over. We're renewing our mind, changing our thinking to the word so that we can start appropriating everything that God has for us. I want more of what God's provided. I know I'm not living in a fullness of everything that he's provided for me, and I want to. I really want to. I don't want to miss out on anything. And I know everybody's like that. But it's through my knowledge. It's through what is in my head and how I'm thinking. So, yes, today you haven't. No one will be anything new. Well, it might be new to somebody. If it is, I hope you get a revelation. Actually, when Dave Feldman was here in December, he spoke a little bit about this. He spoke about the power of our creative words and the power of your voice in your own life. So that was a really good teaching on a similar kind of line. I'm talking about the power of your words today. The power of words. And really, this is a very half-understood area, and yet it's really, really powerful. It's really powerful tool that we have. It's a weapon that we have. Our own voice, the power of our words. God has created us in his image, and he used his words powerfully. God said, and there was. You know, God's words are powerful. There is power in the voice. There's power in a voice that has authority, which we have. So our words are powerful. I want to look at a scripture, which many of you will be very familiar with. Proverbs chapter 18, verse 21. Now this scripture says that death and life are in the power of the tongue, and they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. Death and life are in the power of tongue, and they that love it, they that love the power of the tongue, shall eat the fruit thereof, shall benefit from the power of the tongue. So death and life are in the power of the tongue. If you love that principle, you'll benefit from it. Now, we hear that used a lot in the sense of, you know, don't speak negativity over your own life, which is absolutely true. But there's a very positive way of looking at this scripture. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. You have the power of death in your tongue. We can use our words to bring either life or death. They will bring one of those two things. And when it comes to speaking death, obviously, we don't want to speak death over ourselves, over our families, over our circumstances, our situations. Speaking life over all of that is very positive. When it comes to speaking death, there's a very specific way that you can use that power, the power that is in your tongue. Now, Jesus used his words a lot, and the words that he used had tremendous effect, as you know. Turn with me to Luke chapter 4. I want to show you some examples of Jesus using his words. Luke chapter 4. We'll just read from about verse 31. Jesus came down to Capernaum, a city of Galilee, and taught them on the Sabbath days. And they were astonished at his doctrine, for his word was with power. And in the synagogue there was a man which had a spirit of an unclean devil, and cried out with a loud voice, saying, "Let us alone. What have we to do with thee, thou Jesus of Nazareth? Art thou come to destroy us? I know thee who thou art, the Holy One of God." And Jesus rebuked him, saying, "Hold thy peace, and come out of him." And when the devil had thrown him in the midst, he came out of him and heard him not. And they were all amazed, and spake among themselves, saying, "What a word is this! For with authority and power he commandeth the unclean spirits, and they come out." And the fame of him went out into every place of the country round about. And then, if we keep reading, "And he arose out of the synagogue and entered into Simon's house. And Simon's wife's mother was taken with a great fever, and they besought him for her. And he stood over her and rebuked the fever, and it left her. And immediately she arose and ministered unto them. So here we see Jesus using his words. In verse 35 there, he rebukes this demon and he says, "Hold thy peace and come out of him." Just very simple words, "Hold thy peace and come out of him." But spoken with such authority that they had to be obeyed. And verse 39 and 41, he rebuked this fever and it left her. He used his words powerfully. Mark 11. Verse 12. And on the morrow when they were come from Bethany, he was hungry. And seeing a fig tree afar off having leaves, he came, if haply he might find anything thereon. And when he came to it, he found nothing but leaves, for the time of figs was not yet. And Jesus answered and said unto it, "No man eat fruit of thee hence after forever." And the disciples heard it. And then in verse 19, And when even was come, he went out of the city, and in the morning as they passed by, they saw the fig tree dried up from the roots. And Peter, calling to remembrance, saith unto him, "Master, behold, the fig tree which thou cursed is withered away." And Jesus answering said unto them, "Have faith in God, for verily I say unto you, that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, 'Be thou removed and be cast into the sea,' and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith." So Jesus using his words to bring great effect through the authority that he had. He used his words, and because of the authority, things happened. Now this is interesting to me. If you compare verse 14 in there, Mark 11, 14, it says, "And Jesus answered and said unto it," to the fig tree, "No man eat fruit of thee hereafter forever." No man eat fruit of thee hereafter forever. Simple words. And then in verse 21, Peter says, "And Peter, calling to remembrance, saith unto him, 'Master, behold, the fig tree which thou cursed is withered away.'" Now Jesus, he didn't say, "I curse you, fig tree." He just spoke negatively over this fig tree. And Peter called it cursing. So speaking negatively over something is cursing. The positive side of that is verse 23. "Verily I say unto you, that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, 'Be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea,' and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith." So back to Proverbs 18:21, death and life are in the power of the tongue. You have the power of death in your tongue. Now, Jesus never ever cursed a person. He never ever did that. He used negative words on sickness, disease, devils, and in this case, this fig tree, which is a whole other teaching. But you have the power of death in your tongue over any negative circumstance in your life, including healing. You can speak death to your sickness. You can speak death. You can command your sickness and your illness to die. You can curse it. And if you use the power and authority that Jesus has given you, when you do that, you will see effect. You will see effect. Now, it may not be instantaneous. With Jesus, many of these things happened instantaneously and it was wonderful. But the principle for us is the same. And in this kind of thing, The key is don't give up. Don't give up. This is a mindset, a philosophy that we need to have. That this is the way. This works. Jesus has given us a model. And the word says we have this power. We have authority. So we can use our words, but don't give up. You know, take a biblical principle and stand on it. And you know, when we say I'm standing on the word for something, you know, what that means is I am believing what the word says about this particular situation. I'm believing what the word says, and I'm not going to be moved from that no matter what else is happening. No matter what else I see going on, no matter what else I'm feeling or seeing in my body, I am not going to be moved from that. You know, I shared with you a little bit last week about Psalm 91:10, which refers to no plague coming nigh your dwelling. And this is something I stand on. I believe this, that no plague has any right to come in my body. Now, I stand on the word with that. Now, does that mean I never get symptoms of anything? No, I do. I'll feel a cold coming on me. But I don't think, oh, the word didn't work. A plague has come nigh my dwelling. That didn't work. Oh, well, I may as well stop doing that. I don't do that. If I feel I'm getting sick, I get angry. And I say, no, I am not having this. The word says, no plague shall come nigh unto my dwelling. And I resist sickness. I resist it. And to begin with, I would just get a cold. And, you know, although I was saying no plague shall come nigh unto my dwelling, I would still have a cold. But I've been doing this for years now. And when I feel a cold coming on me now, it doesn't last very long. I'll maybe feel a tickle in my nose or a rasping up my throat. When I resist it immediately, and I haven't had a cold, I think for maybe, I can't actually remember last, I haven't had one this year. It might be 18 months even. I don't remember the last time I had a cold. I don't do sick. I don't get ill. I will not have it. Now symptoms will come on me. And yeah, when I started and I wasn't seeing it working perfectly to begin with. But now as it went on, I would feel a cold starting and I'd say, right, I'm resisting this. And sometimes it felt like I was resisting for months. Like I would feel this cold trying to come on me for months, but I was resisting and resisting. It wouldn't actually come full blown. It would just stay at that early stage as I was fighting it off. But it gets easier and easier and easier. The more you do it, the more you say, right, I am not shifting from this principle. I believe what the word says. And I am not moving. I'm standing firm. And if you could just exalt the word above every other thing, then we will begin to see victory. We will begin to see it working if it doesn't happen instantaneously. And in a way, I mean, instantaneous healing is wonderful. But, you know, many people lose their healing when they're healed instantaneously. There's a lot of records of that from healing, you know, people who have large healing ministries. They note a large number of people don't manage to keep their healing. But if you have come from a place of fighting, working it out, believing the word, standing, pressing on, not giving up, and seeing victory come, it's a lot easier to get victory from that point of view than to maintain victory that you haven't really worked for. You know, I mean, instantaneous healing is wonderful. I love seeing it. But there is power in pressing on, working it out for yourself, standing on the word for yourself and seeing victory that way. There's great power in that. Yes, we've been given power and authority. Matthew 28. Matthew 28. I love this scripture. It's well known. Call it the Great Commission. 18 to 20. Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and earth, go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. Jesus has been given all power, and he says, you go. I've been given the power, so you do it. Because, of course, he's in us and with us, and we are empowered by him. So we have his power and his authority in us. All power has been given unto me. Go ye, therefore, into all the world. Mark 16. Mark 16, 17 and 18. These signs shall follow them that believe. In my name they shall cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents, and if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. This is all talking about things that we have been commissioned to do. But of course, it's not our power. It's his power. We're not drawing on something within us, some natural thing that we possess. This is supernatural empowerment. All authority's been given to me, so go ye. I've empowered you. This is the sort of thing you're going to do. And Luke 24. Luke 24:46-49. Thus it is written, and thus it behooved Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. And ye are witnesses of these things. And behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you. But tarry in the city of Jerusalem until you be endued with power from on high. That power has come. That power that they were told to wait for is here. That was Pentecost, when the Holy Spirit was poured out, and he hasn't gone back again. He's still here. He hasn't gone anywhere. He's still here. He's still here giving power to anybody who will believe in Jesus. So if you are a born-again person, you have the power of God. You have the authority of God. You have that spirit in you, empowering you to do all these things. And of course, it's not our power. But look at Acts chapter 3. We looked at this scripture the second week, I think, when Peter and John heal this lame man who's at the temple. And in verse 6, Peter says to this man, he says, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, such as I have, give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. And then in verse 12, he says, when Peter saw all the men wondering, he answered unto the people, ye men of Israel, why marvel ye at this? Or why look ye so earnestly on us as though by our power or holiness we had made this man to walk? Saying, it's not us. It's not our power. We are just using the power that's been put on the inside of us by another. And he goes on. I haven't written the scripture. In verse 16, let's read from verse 14. The God of Abraham and of Isaac and of Jacob, the God of our fathers, hath glorified his son Jesus, whom ye delivered up, and denied him in the presence of Pilate, when he was determined to let him go. But you denied the Holy One and the just, and desired a murderer to be granted unto you, and killed the Prince of Life, whom God hath raised from the dead, whereof we are witnesses. And his name, through faith in his name, hath made this man strong, whom ye see and know. Yea, the faith which is by him hath given him this perfect soundness in the presence of you all. Faith in the name of Jesus did this work. Faith in what they knew they had within them. They believed it. They believed that they had that power in them. They had received the Holy Spirit. They knew there was that power because they were told that was what was going to happen. Jesus said, when power has come upon you, this is what you're going to do. So when the power came on them, they believed it and they were doing those things. Just one more example of that is Stephen. In Acts 6, verse 8, it says, and Stephen, full of faith and power, did great wonders and miracles among the people. We have power and we have authority. And it's the same authority that Jesus was operating on under when he was here. We have that same power and that same authority. It's been put in our power. Peter said, such as I have, give I thee. He didn't pray. He didn't say to God, Lord, heal this man, or Lord, do I heal this man now? No, he just said, such as I have, give I thee. He used the power that he had. It's there flowing all the time, waiting for us to put faith in it and use it. So it's been put in our power to use our words to bring death and life. And the death that we bring with our tongue is to the works of the enemy. The death that we bring with our tongue is to the work of the enemy in our lives and in the lives of others. Luke 17, verse 6. See, the thing is that we do need to exalt what the word says over every other thing. You do need to believe that you have the power. If you don't believe you have the power won't work. And that's really, it's as simple as that. We need to exalt what the word says. So when the word says, all power has been given to you, you need to really meditate on that and think, okay, well, I'm not seeing that, but the word says that. And you can say, thank you, Lord, that you've given me all power. Thank you, Father, that I know you have given me all power and all authority. Thank you, Lord, I believe that. I believe I have power and authority. Meditate on it. Meditate on it. And the best place to start practicing, I think, is in your own life. You know, it's a good place to start. And it doesn't have to be something major. You know, a lot of people got major things going on. But you can start with a cold. Start with a cold. You know, you might think, you know, we don't have a TV, but I remember when we did have a TV, you knew when you were supposed to be getting a cold. Because the adverts told you so. You know, there'd be Lemsip Max Strength, Lockett's, Vicks Vapor Rub, Kleenex Super Soft Tissues, you know, and somebody gently dabbing their red nose with a soft tissue. You know, the world will tell you, you are going to get a cold. That's what the word says. And the word says, because it's a virus, you can't do anything about that. How can you not have a cold? Of course you're going to have a cold. Well, that's what the word is telling you. The world, rather, is telling you. The word is telling you, no plague shall come nigh unto your dwelling. All power and authority is given unto you. Which one are you going to exalt? It's flu season. Oh, okay, I can expect to get flu. Or, it's never flu season for me. Amen. It's never flu season in the word. No plague shall ever come nigh unto my dwelling. You know, start with your own little sphere. Start with your own life. Start using the power and authority that you have in small ways. And then when you see victory in these things, it will give you confidence to move to the next thing, and the next thing, and the next thing. Exercise your faith. Use that power that you have. Verse 6, Jesus said, if you had faith as a grain of mustard seed, well, you know, you have bigger faith than that. You have the faith of the Son of God. So your faith is bigger than this faith, and this is what you could do if you only had this size faith, but you have bigger faith than this, but this is what you can do with this size faith. You might say unto this sycamine tree, be thou plucked up by the root, and be thou planted in the sea, and it should obey you. If you had faith, you might say unto this sycamine tree. You might say to the thing. You talk to the thing. You don't talk to God about the thing. Peter didn't talk to God about the lame man. He just healed the lame man. You don't need to talk to God about this sort of stuff. It's a given that you've got it. And you use your words. You use the power and authority of your words to see these things coming to pass. Say to the thing. Things listen. Things listen and things talk. You know, Jesus said to the fig tree, nobody's going to eat figs from you ever again. He spoke to the fig tree. But what is interesting in that scripture, it says Jesus answered the fig tree. The fig tree had been talking to him. You know, circumstances will talk to you. You will know what's being said to you through circumstances, you know, feelings. All these things are talking to you. But as I said in the early weeks of this, exalt God's voice above every other voice. Talk to your circumstances. Use your words. Jay phoned me up a couple of weeks ago, and we were chatting away, and he's doing a project where he's got to compose some music to go along with a piece of animation. He's been given some animation, and he's got to come up with the music to go on top of this. And a couple of weeks ago, I spoke to him, and he said he was struggling to do this. And I said, well, have you prayed over it, Jay? And he said, well, not really. Could you do that now? So I prayed over the phone. And this is more or less what I said. This is kind of the gist of what I said. I said, thank you, Father, for Jay's skills and abilities in writing. I thank you that you've put that in him. I speak out creative ideas over Jay. I call forth in Jay creativity, ideas for writing, great ideas. I speak this out over you, Jay, and I say that work is finished and done and it's successful. That was more or less what I said. But I used my words to speak positivity to Jay. I spoke out creative ideas. It was a bit longer than that. But as at the end of it, he said, thanks, Mum, as you were praying, some ideas were coming into my head. And anyway, he was home last night, and he showed us what he's done. And it's cool. It's great. It's really good. So you can use your words. Use your words powerfully in your life to cause change and to cause things to improve in every area. Yeah, things listen. Things listen. I don't know how it works, but there is power in your words. Things listen. Your body is listening to you. Your body hears you. Use your words and speak to your body. Tell your body it's healed. Tell your body that healing is flowing, and tell your body to respond to that healing. And whatever is going on, and you can talk directly to your sickness and curse your sickness and command it to die. Command it to be removed and cast into the sea. Say, you've got none of me, sickness. I'm not having you in my body. Now, you may not see the instantaneous result, but don't give up. Keep doing it, because the word says there's power in your words. Your words have great power for death and life. Death in negativity and life in whatever you want. You can speak life over your children. That is powerful. Speaking life and positivity over your children. Over your finances. Over your job. Your business. Whatever it is, speak out. Use your words. Use your voice. Don't just pray to God and ask him to do it. Use the power that you've got. Say to it. Use your words. And you will see mighty results. What this really is doing is taking charge. It's taking charge of your life, your situation. Take charge. You have authority over your own body. And really, you're the best one to bring about change in your body. You can ask other people to help you, and that's great. That's a biblical principle. Get somebody to pray for you, lay hands on you, anoint you with oil. There are lots and lots of ways of getting healed. But the best way, I think, is for you to take charge over your own body. Because then you don't need other people as such. I mean, that's great. And in a situation like this, we can pray for each other, and it's great. But then if we all go home, what do you do at home? You're on your own. Perhaps there isn't somebody immediately who can come and pray for you. You need to be able to have it within you to deal with whatever's going on. So this is taking charge of your own life, your own body. We need to get out of the back seat and into the driver's seat. Don't just be led here and there by whatever's going on. You take control. Take control using the power and the authority that you've been given. Are you ruling and reigning in your body, or is someone else or something else running the show? I've written here. Are you ruling and reigning in your own body, or are you just being swept along with whatever circumstances bring to you? Just going with the flow. See what happens. Que sera, sera. Whatever will be, will be. Or are you driving this thing? Are you using your power and your authority to see things change? Do you have dominion over your own body? Or are things just happening? You know, there's no condemnation. Wherever we are, we can take control. Whatever has come against you, however defeated you're feeling, or it seems, it's never too late to stand up and fight. It's never too late to take control and resist what is happening to you. James 4 verse 7 says, submit yourselves therefore unto God. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. There's a formula there. Submit yourselves unto God. And part of that is exalt his word above every other voice. Believe what he says above everything. Never mind your own philosophy. That's not based on the word. That's irrelevant. Exalt what God says. Submit yourselves unto God. You have all authority and power. And what's the next bit? Resist the devil. This is interesting because this means you have to know what is from God and what's from the devil. If you don't know that, how do you know what to submit to and what to resist? If you think that God has put some sickness on you, why would you resist that if it's from God? This is why I can't understand why Christians say God's put a sickness on them and then they'll go to the doctor. Talk about double-minded. But God does not put sickness on people. God does not put sickness on people. So if you get sick, that's not God, so you resist it. Submit yourselves to God. Believe what the word says above every other thing. And resist the devil. Use the authority and the power that you have, and you can bring about change in your own life. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Ephesians 4, verse 26 and 27. Galatians, Ephesians. Ephesians 4. Be angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath, neither give place to the devil. Now, normally this is preached in the context of if you've had a row with your husband or your wife, get it sorted out before you go to bed. Don't let the sun go down on your anger. Because God condones strife during daylight hours, but during the night, that's not on. No, it's not talking about that. There is never occasion to be angry with people. But be angry at the devil. Be angry at Satan's work in your life. Be angry and sin not. There's a good type of anger. And it's not blasting your husband or your wife. There's a good, positive anger. And don't ever let the sun go down on that anger. Don't ever let that anger go to sleep. Stay angry. Stay angry at the works of the enemy. Don't ever, ever get passive when it comes to what Satan is doing. Don't be passive about sickness. Don't be passive about a cold and think, oh, that's a cold, I've got to have a cold. No, you don't have to have a cold. You don't have to have a cold. You can always, always resist whatever Satan will throw at you. Never, ever give place to him, it says in verse 27. Don't ever give him an inch. Don't give him any place. Resist him. Don't have it. Get angry. You know, we are in a battle. We are in a battle. We were born again into a battle. Yay! But it's a great battle because it's a battle that's already been won. Amen. You know, Jesus has won a fantastic victory. And we have that power in us. Same power that conquered the grave lives in me. Yeah. Do we believe that? We really need to get a grip of that. Same power that conquered the grave lives in me. We are in a battle. We are at war. We're born again into a battle. I love Paul's writings. You know, he uses a lot of military terminology. Spiritual warfare, the weapons of our warfare, the armor that we've got. You know, we are in a battle. Ephesians 6, there's that, you know, we know the spiritual armor that we read about there. And again, this spiritual armor, it's about knowledge. It's about knowledge. You know, what you know about God and about what he's done for you, that is your armor. The helmet of salvation, that's what do you know about salvation? The belt of truth, you know, what truth do you know? This isn't about actually saying, praying, right, Lord, I'm putting on my helmet of salvation this morning, and I'm putting on my belt of truth, and I'm putting on my breastplate of righteousness. No, that's not what it's about. It's about what you know. Your understanding of what you have in Jesus is your armor. But then in verse 16, 18, he says, praying always, use your words. You have this armor on you and this power in your words. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. And, you know, prayer isn't just communicating with God. Of course, it is that. But when we are speaking according to his word, that is prayer. You know, when I prayed for Jay and I was praying creativity over him, I was speaking creativity. I speak out creativity over you, Jay. That's prayer, because I'm using the power that God has given me to affect my circumstances, my children. 2 Corinthians 10, verse 4. This is this weapon, weapons of our warfare. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. This word warfare there comes from a word that means military service. You know, we are in a battle. We're on the front line. We are in a battle. We are at war. It's so positive though, because we are so empowered for this battle. We have everything that we need. We are fully equipped with the power and authority that Jesus used. We have that on the inside of us. And I say this to you, there can be no pacifists in the kingdom of God. You can't be a conscientious objector in the kingdom. You are in battle. Don't just turn on your back, put your legs up in the air and surrender. Don't work like that. You'll die doing that. You need to fight. Fight. We are at war. We're in a battle. But we have the victory. We have the power and authority to bring victory and abundant life in our families. We have the power to speak death over negativity and watch it die. You know, when David came against Goliath, this is one of my favorite scriptures in the Word. I love this verse in 1 Samuel 17. Is it up there, Stuart, please? Save me looking up my Bible. David has come to bring his brothers something to eat. And nobody wants to go and fight this man, Goliath. He's just so scary. Nobody wants to go. And then David comes along and he says, "What shall be done to the man that killeth this Philistine and taketh away the reproach from Israel? For who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of the living God?" You know, this uncircumcised Philistine was not in covenant with God. The circumcision was the covenant. David was in covenant. He knew that he was in covenant with the living God. This guy, this uncircumcised Philistine, he's nothing. David had a revelation of that. David recognized his enemy had already lost, because the living God was with him. There was such power in David's attitude. He couldn't lose because he was in covenant with God. Come on, that is awesome. We are in covenant with God. We can't lose. We can't lose. Even if we die fighting, we win. We go to glory and be with the Lord. We can't lose for winning. And David knew this. Who is this uncircumcised Philistine? I love that. Who does he think he is? And this is our attitude to Satan. Who does he think he is? He is a defeated foe. He's under our feet. He has nothing on us because God has dealt with anything that he could have had on us. Jesus has nailed it to the cross. All the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, all that Satan could come and accuse you of, nailed to the cross. Satan has nothing on you. You are in covenant relationship with God. You are a victorious liver. Private joke. You're a victorious overcomer. This is so powerful. Yeah, and as I say, it doesn't always happen instantaneously. It didn't with the fig tree. You know, when Jesus spoke out over that fig tree, it was the next day when they came back that they saw it had died. So you can imagine the disciples when Jesus spoke to this thing, and then they walk on and they're looking at the tree and it still looks perfectly all right. And they're maybe thinking, did that work? Did that work? But then it says in one of the other accounts, in one of the other gospels about it, that this thing dried up from the roots. When Jesus cursed that thing, it died immediately. It was dead at the root. But it took 24 hours for it to show on the outside. And then the disciples said, Master, that fig tree that you cursed, it's dead. And he says, have faith in God. Believe God. Believe in the power and authority that you've been given, that you have. I hope this impacts you. I really hope this impacts you. The power that you have is phenomenal. It's really phenomenal. And you can start using it in small ways, if necessary. Get practicing. Practice in your own life. You know, if you feel your eyesight deteriorating, talk to your eyes. Tell your eyes, eyes, you are healed. Eyes, you are seeing perfectly. I heard a testimony of this recently where somebody said that he noticed his eyesight was deteriorating. So he decided he was going to start praying over his eyes, using his words, the power of his words. And he said about a year later, when he was reading something, he realized, wow, my eyes are, I can see really well. I mean, it took a year. So it might take time. But don't give up. This is a biblical principle and it works. We have that power and authority in us. And we can start using it for our bodies, our families, our finances, all these things. Curse the enemy in your life. Resist him. Fight. Don't give up. And speak blessing over your own life. I am blessed and highly favored. I am whole and healthy. And, you know, speak anything positive that you want. You can speak it out because you have that power. We're exalting God's word above everything. His word, you know, we are Christians. We are born again Christians. And this, the Bible is our manual. You know, universally in Christendom, that is agreed. That the Bible is our authority. It tells us how things work and what everything's all about. Everything I've just said to you, it's not my idea. It's from the Word. The Word says this about you. You've believed in Jesus. You've accepted him as Savior. You have that power on the inside of you. You can take that Word and you can use it to benefit your own life. but we exalt that word above every other voice. And people will come against you. Circumstances will come against you. But don't give up. You might hear something. You might have a weak spot that the devil likes to poke. When you feel him poking your weak spot, whatever that is, think about the word. Think, the word doesn't say that about me. The word says this about me, and that about me, and the next thing about me. Remember that scripture in James, treat the word like a mirror, your spiritual mirror. You look in the word to see who you are and all that you have, according to the finished work of the cross. That's the cutest noise, isn't it? So, that's really my message today. Believe the word. Let the Holy Spirit quicken the word to you. When you read a scripture like, you have power and authority. You know, Paul prayed this in Ephesians. He wanted the eyes of our understanding to be enlightened so that we might know all that we have in him. You know, let the Holy Spirit minister that to you, the power that you have in you. And there's no sin hindering you. There's no barrier between you and God limiting you. The only thing that's limiting anybody is how they think. That's the only thing stopping us. The potential in every one of us is huge. It's huge. Oh. But we need a revelation. We need to renew our minds to that. Who we are. Who we are. In Christ. It's awesome. So powerful. Whatever circumstance you're in, that is true. Whatever you're going through, the fact that Christ is in you is true. And you can go from here today and have a fresh resolve that you're not going to be a pacifist, you're not going to be a conchi, but you're going to fight all the time. Fight. Go out fighting. Don't ever submit to Satan. Don't ever give him any place. Fight. Believe who you are and what you have. Believe what God has done. And don't be moved. Don't let any other voice shift you from the truth of who you are and what you have. That is powerful. I hope you can really respond in faith to this. Respond in faith. Believe the power that you have. And even if you have to say, Lord, I know I'm not getting this fully. I know I'm missing it. Even if you have to say that, but the Holy Spirit wants you to succeed even more than you want to succeed. God is with you to deliver you. He's with you. He's in you. Oh, we are so equipped. We can't lose. And all we need to do is change our thinking, renew our minds. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah.